Psalms 92. Psalms 92 and verses 12 and 13. And it says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Now look at verse 13, because this is a good verse right here. It says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord, planted in the, and we've just talked about farming, we've talked about aquaponics, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And there's two key words here that I want to leave with you: planted, flourish. Planted, flourish. It's basically saying that the key to flourishing in life for the believer, for the righteous, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, is to be planted in the house of God. I'm not a farmer. I'm not an agriculturist or a horticulturist or whatever it is, but I do know enough, because since I moved in my house, thanks to Michelle, I've planted like a million flowers, azaleas and roses, and she's teaching me a little bit about it. But I do know this about farming, that the seed has to go in the soil. The tulip bulb or whatever it is you're planting has to go in the soil. You can't just take the seed or whatever, just set it on the sidewalk, start and water it. You know, what's on the side? It's watering, it's getting sun, and I'm watering, water. But just sitting it on the sidewalk, nothing's going to really happen to it, is it? It's got to go in the soil. It's got to be planted in the soil to flourish. Go in the dirt, in the soil to flourish. Those who are planted in the house. This is the house. The house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And you are so faithful. And what I'm going to tell you is I'm not preaching to you, because you're doing it. But I think in today's society, a lot of people really don't understand the importance, the priority that God places on being planted in the house of God. Or let me say it like this. I don't think people really understand the importance and how crucial it is to your spiritual walk that you find a good church and that you get planted in a local body of believers like this. Amen. Amen. It's You we're a Christian nation, but you look all around. Churches are shutting down. They're closing down. It's a shame, and it's a shame. You see how we're moving progressively to the left, and people aren't believing in Jesus, and you know, used to be, just it seems like just 10 years ago most people believed in a God. Now you do a poll and it's less than 50%, and it's a shame. But we need to be planted and connected in the house of God. And here's your little takeaways, if you want to fill in the notes there. To be planted means to be set in the ground for growth. We can't grow, we can't flourish unless we're planted, unless we're set in the ground, unless we're set in the house of God, connected to a local body of believers like this. And here's an important principle about being planted and flourishing. And I'm gonna get to my main point here in just a second and how it all relates. But an important principle about being planted is once the seed is in the soil, for the seed to take root, the seed has to stay in the soil. you can't just take a bulb and, well, I'm gonna put it in the soil today. And you know what? I don't like that dirt. That dirt just makes me mad. I don't like the shade of it. I think I'm just gonna pull that bulb out. I'll just set it in the garage. It don't need the dirt. And then maybe in about 2 or 3 months, I'll get the bulb and put it back in the soil. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? Because a lot of people treat church like that. A lot of people treat the house of God like that. You got to stay connected. And by the way, it's more than just listening to preaching. It's more than just coming and sitting in the pew. It's more than that. It's about connection. It's about we need each other, don't we? Huh? We need each other. The Bible says the one who isolates himself seeks his own desire. We're created for community. We need each other to hold each other accountable. We need support. It's not all sunshine and roses, and there's going to be a time when you're going to need a brother or a sister of faith to come put their arm around you and love on you a little bit. Connection. I've still got connection to people up north, and that's the body of Christ. We need to stay connected. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, don't forsake assembling together as so many do. People have told me, I don't need the church. I don't need the church. I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. I don't need to be part of a body of Christ. It's all good. I love Jesus. I read my Bible. And well, you don't need a parachute to jump out of an airplane either, do you? But I'd rather have a parachute than not. You got a better chance of survival. That's the body of Christ. So we flourish. We're positioned to flourish when we're connected to the house of God. Flourish in your notes. To grow well. To thrive. To prosper. We're positioned to flourish. And you do well, church. And you're faithful. I mean, this is the greatest church in the world. But these are good reminders on the importance of each other, how we need each other. Because when we're connected and we're planted and we stay planted, our faith has the opportunity to flourish. Our worship has the opportunity to worship. I can watch Hillsong on TV and turn up, but there's just something about being in this atmosphere, isn't it? And just worshiping in the presence of believers. I mean, I can listen to it in my car, but this is special right here, you know? Our relationship with God flourishes. Our relationship with each other flourishes. Like I said, we need faith-filled people in our life that will help us walk through life, that will build us up, that'll hold us accountable. But here's my point. Here's where I'm getting to. All that to say this. Even more, I believe, than all that. Yes, we want to grow spiritually. We want our faith to grow and all this. But all that relates to, that's all about me. Making me get better. Right? I'm growing. So I'm hearing the word. I'm getting better. Here's it. When we're connected to the body of Christ, it gives us the opportunity for our service to God to flourish. Our service to each other to flourish. Because it's pretty easy to come to church and sit in church and listen to a church. And yes, my faith is building. Oh, I'm gonna develop faith to get out there and face the world. But we gotta remember that it's more than that. Church isn't just all about us. It's about something bigger than ourselves. My ministry has the opportunity to flourish. See the early church, it was never about a building. It was never about a program. It was never about an hour-long service. If you read the book of Acts, I heard organic. I heard that organic. It was about a movement. It was a movement. The word church is the word ecclesia, which means called out ones. It wasn't about they wouldn't know what this is all about. The church to them was, I'm the church. I'm the church. It's not about going to a specific place to get my soul fed about what I can get out of it. It's about what I can put into it. They didn't understand what the consumer-driven church was all about. They didn't understand. It was what I can give. They realized this. It's not all about me coming to church. It's about me becoming the church. It's about me being connected with you. And we're all under this banner of the gospel. And I'm loving you and you're loving me. And we're giving of ourselves to each other. We're studying this on Wednesday night. Man, I'm serving you. And we're just like a snowball. And we're getting bigger and bigger. And we're not going to stop until this movement reaches the far ends of the earth. That was the church, the way God designed. Wasn't about my favorite music. It wasn't about my favorite song. It wasn't about is the preacher preaching long? Is he preaching what I want to hear? It was about what can I give? What can I give? What can I do? Amen. And you're doing it, church. You are. You're doing it. You're doing it. But I'm talking about being planted and flourishing. I love the fact that Carlton and Nell. See, here's what they could have done. And here's what I've seen people do in the past. Well, there's not a small group on Tuesday night to meet my needs, and I don't like going to this one here, so I'm going to just leave the church, and I'm going to just go find it somewhere out there. But they didn't have that mindset. They're like, you know what? This is an area that we need at our church. God, how can I serve? They come to me, and guess what? They start the ministry. Huh? The young adults... Sean and Stephen, a couple years ago, they're like, you know, we don't have a young adult connection at the church. Now, see, what they could have done is they could have went somewhere else. You know, I'm going to go try to find a young adult. No, they came to me and said, you know what? We'd like to start a young adult group. Hallelujah. See, that's what I'm talking about. It's not about just critiquing everything that we're doing wrong or critiquing everything that we need to do. It's about, here, my Lord, use me. Help me to be that change agent. That's what I'm talking about, flourishing in the house of God. Amen. And here's your 3 points as we leave. You're called by God. You're called by God. You're called by God. You're gifted by God. Number two, you're needed by God. You're needed by God. In keeping with this farming thing, Matthew 9:37 and 38, Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray the Lord who's in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field." We're needed by God because the harvest is great all around us. But he's saying, but there's so few workers that'll go out and reap the harvest. And I know some of you are thinking, Ray, you said I'm gifted by God, but I don't know what my gifts are. I don't know how I can contribute to the harvest. Here's my personal advice. Here's how I discovered my gift. I got planted in a church. And since I didn't know what I was good at, I basically went to the pastor and said, "What do you need me to do? I'm just here to do whatever. I'm just here to do whatever." And it's something how when you just have that willing, can-do spirit, I'm just here to serve. It's amazing how you get to do this, and then all of a sudden this door opens and this door. And all of a sudden you start to realize what your ministry gifts are. So that would be my suggestion. Go to the leaders. Go to an elder. Come to me. I want to be used, but I don't know where I can be used in. I guarantee we'll put you to work. We'll put you to work. I want to leave you with one little scripture that blessed me this week that relates to all of this. It's 1 Peter 5:5. And I'm reading it in the Amplified Bible. And it says, "All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another." Look at this next phrase. It says, "Tie on the servant's apron." I've never seen this before. Humility. What is humility? What is humility towards one another? It's tying on the servant's apron. I picture the butler. How can I help you? How can I serve you? You're putting on the... And then it says, "For God is opposed to the proud, the disdainful, the presumptuous, and he defeats them, but he gives grace to the humble." Grace, favor, unmerited blessing upon blessing upon blessing comes to the humble, the ones who are humble towards each other. And what is humility towards each other? It's having on the apron of service. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? I know this is not one of those kind of messages you want to hear. But he's talking about the blessing and the favor of God. It's service. It's service. It's about something greater than beyond myself. And just think of this. Somebody went out into the fields and reaped the harvest of your soul one day. You're sitting here because someone stretched out of their comfort zone and told you about Jesus, invited you to church. And many of you have come through the rummage or the back to school, and man, you felt the love of Jesus. You're here because someone else went out and reaped the harvest. Why don't you do it for someone too? Why don't you do that? Put on the apron. Are you wearing that apron this morning? I want to ask you to bow your heads. And I hope you're challenged. I hope you're challenged. This day is about an attaboy. It's about thank you so much. It literally is about thank you so much. Because we wouldn't have this church body if we didn't have people who loved God and loved each other and served. But also I'm hoping that it does inspire those that need to get connected and want to get. I hope it does inspire you because we need you. If you see something out there and maybe God can use you to invoke some change or invoke a particular ministry that's needed, come to me. I want to speak with you. Father, stir our hearts, Father. We thank you. We thank you for the privilege in these last days, these final hours, that you still are beckoning us and you're still calling us. Maybe while your heads are bowed, maybe in a congregation this size and watching online, maybe there's people listening, sitting here today that's never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. You can't earn your way in. You can only receive this free gift. And right where you're seated, you can ask Jesus to save you. Maybe you've come in, you've seen, wow, I want to be part of this. I want to be part of this. Well, you can just by saying, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I'm repenting. I'm turning. Forgive me of my sins. I trust in the cross. I trust in the sacrifice that you gave for me. And right there, you can commit your life to Christ. I commit myself to you, God. I want to serve you. I want to be used to honor you. Be used to serve others as well. So, Father, as we sing a final song of worship, thank you so much for the inspiration and the privilege of being in your presence today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.